This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those 40 days, and when they were over, Jesus was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In his baptism, Jesus is revealed as God's Son. Then immediately, Jesus is in the wilderness facing the devil, who asks, "If you are the Son of God, then do this, that, or the other." The question from the devil pushes Jesus to define what sort of Son of God Jesus will be. His public ministry launches Jesus from being this unknown, humble carpenter's son to being revealed as the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. So now everything is changing for Jesus. Jesus gains notoriety and Jesus gains temptation. This is what happens when Amy Winehouse, popular singer, gains notoriety. She also gains temptation. It's what happens when singer Tom Petty gains notoriety. He also gains temptation. It's what happens when River Phoenix, Anna Nicole Smith, Chris Farley, Kurt Cobain, and Whitney Houston gain notoriety. They also gain temptation. This is how it goes with Jesus. One minute, he's the village whiz kid, and in the next minute, he's the Holy One of Israel, the Ancient of Days, Emmanuel, God with us, now facing the question, "If you are the Son of God, you could do this, that, or the other, couldn't you?" If you are the Son of God, you could make everyone and everything be just as good as it had been intended at the creation, couldn't you? No one ever need go hungry. Turn these stones, in fact, turn every stone into bread. No one need suffer oppression. Become a big deal. Reorder countries, governments. In fact, why stop there? Reorder the universe. The ends do justify the means, after all. Oh, you say to worship the Lord your God and your God alone. Well, you can make that happen, can't you? You can create faith in every heart by throwing yourself off this building in plain view. Angels are going to catch you anyhow, and when people see it, they're all going to believe. So there we have it. Will Jesus win us over with gimmicks, glitz, flashy slogans, and power displays, or will Jesus suffer and die for God's people? Given all these temptations, what sort of God will Jesus be? Given all your temptations, what sort of child of God will you be? Temptations, let's be honest, they come our way all the time. Temptations came Jesus' way all the time. Notice how the gospel says, when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Meaning the devil is going to drop by again someday when it suits the devil's fancy. Perhaps that's when Jesus is tired, stressed, or hounded by needy people. Perhaps it's then that the devil chooses to drop by for a visit. Isn't this how it goes with us? Doesn't it seem that the devil's always coming around when we are exhausted, when we're stressed, when our nerves are frayed, when we feel like we've been hounded by needy people? In our moment of weakness, whatever that looks like, temptations come our way. They say, do this because the Bible says so. Do that because the Bible says so. I'm right to do this, that, or the other because the Bible says thus and such. Isn't that actually the approach that the devil takes with Jesus? Some say we can make the Bible say whatever we like, right? And perhaps this is so because in the hands of the devil, the Bible is used to encourage evil. And we've seen this before, haven't we? Haven't we seen the Bible used to bless racism, slavery, wars, the oppression of women, and the demonizing of this group, that group, or the other group? Such behavior as this is inspiring to a man in the middle of the 20th century. His name is Joseph Goebbels. He's the propaganda head of Nazi Germany. He's inspired to say a human is and remains an animal. Here a beast of prey, there a house pet, but always an animal. We might want to see ourselves as house pets. This is true. We'd all want to see ourselves as a nice, comfy, sweet, cuddly thing. But in reality, you see the beast of prey come out in us when, like the devil, we use the good news of Jesus Christ to work the bad news of oppression. Temptation operating in this manner is sometimes hard to see because it adjusts something good. It tweaks it just enough to turn it into an incredibly potent lie. I mean, when do we see the devil saying to Jesus, hey, you're hungry there, Jesus. Throttle the baker and take the bread. Would Jesus have ever fallen for that? Absolutely not. It's no wonder the devil tries instead to say to Jesus, turn the stones to bread. I mean, he's out there in the wilderness by himself. No one's watching, right? Now, isn't that tempting? Although I think he is pretty spiffy, I feel absolutely no temptation to become Florida Bahamas Senate Bishop Pedro Suarez. But there is a temptation to use my pastoral skills to land a call in a big church with a fat bank account and a fully developed leadership team. But the temptation never comes in the way of money and benefits. Instead, it comes as if you're an effective pastor, you could be pastoring a bigger church, changing more lives for good. Wouldn't you like to do that? Seems wise. On a personal level, after having named a temptation that comes my way from time to time, I'll ask you, what temptations come your way? What temptations invite you to compromise your integrity and to deny or mar your image as God's child? Let's see how Jesus manages the temptations that come his way. Temptation number one, basic needs exist. Instant acclaim comes in meeting them. Don't similar temptations come our way? Temptation number two, be a big deal by getting to the top. Whatever it takes, do it. The ends justify the means. Don't similar temptations come our way? Temptation three, for the sake of publicity, do something grand. Then let the word leak out so people know how humble we are and how generous we are. Don't similar temptations come our way? If these temptations don't resonate with us, then maybe our temptation is going along to get along, playing nice in public while being destructive in private. And if that temptation doesn't snare us, then what about the temptation to attend worship only when it's convenient or expedient? Maybe salving our guilt by writing a few checks to Lutheran World Federation. You know what I mean. To live a self-defined Christian life that is faithfully, comfortably anonymous and absolutely invisible. After all, isn't it tempting to live a self-defined Christian life so that the world would be such a peaceful place, just you and your Jesus, me and my Jesus? We could all just sit at home and define whatever it is that we decide it looks like to be God's church, according to us. Speaking of which, temptation comes at the congregational level, doesn't it? We're tempted to be surface level nice. And there's nothing wrong with that, except there isn't anything right with it either. A congregation that's only surface level nice might be an idyllic chapel, but it's never going to make a lasting mark because it isn't answering the prayer of Jesus, which asks that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A congregation that prays this prayer with Jesus yet doesn't live this prayer with Jesus has given in to this temptation because it never follows Jesus when following Jesus means taking a path that deviates from the way we've always gone. That makes any decision, that avoids making any decision that might ruffle feathers. That involves any choice that might make us not look like Mr. Nice Guy or Miss Nice Girl. A congregation that gives in to this temptation won't be following Jesus if following means loving others in extravagant and risky ways. Ways that make us uncomfortable and ways that actually mean that some part of us and maybe even our agenda must die. Sadly, such a congregation that's given in to this temptation turns its back on Jesus, preferring comfort of the familiar to following its Lord. This is why God's church desperately needs Lent. Lent calls us on a personal level and on a congregational level to follow Jesus into becoming the sort of people and sort of congregation that faithfully follows Jesus. Especially when following means not taking the easy way out, not becoming a big deal, not looking to be the center of attention, and not forcing things to go our way. Lent moves us out of our comfort zone, out of our comfy, soft, squishy place, and into the challenging place that is the wilderness, where Jesus invites us to discover what sort of child of God we will be. Will we play it safe? Or will we love this wounded, confused world extravagantly and lavishly? Through the season of Lent, this is where Jesus leads us. Yet, honestly, if this is indeed where Jesus leads us, and make no mistake, it is this where we are willing to go? Is it? Amen.